Yesterday I went to look at my notes, and I was just as sure as everything that I had something to preach for 1 o'clock service. All week long I thought that I had something to preach, and I did not. But on the way to shopping yesterday, the Lord had given me just gave me something that I should preach, and I was just like, wow, I was going to take this what he gave me, and I was going to replace it what I thought that I already had in my notes, and I had nothing. And I was like, well, that was meant to be. It just wasn't meant for me to have anything else until the last minute. Sometimes the Lord's like that. I've been up here with a message, and it's something it's totally different than what I ever thought. And that's what I like, is when God takes over and it's not me up here, and He takes over and puts out there what needs to be, because I can sure mess everything up. We're going to start in chapter 7. You guys have heard this, but I'm coming at it a different way. It's not going to stay here, but this is where we're going to start. Matthew 7, verse 24. We are doing the thing on the July 15th, on Tuesday. Yeah, we're going to do it because Carrie and Esther really wanted to get involved in it and all that. So everything really is just falling in place. I didn't think it was going to fall in place, but it is. And I think it'll be okay. We can work it out. I'm sure we can work it out. And that'll make people at Wellsprings and Jim, that'll make them happy to see Black Creek really wants to still stay in this thing. So Matthew 7, verse 24 says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine," not man, not the world, he says mine, "and doeth them," it's important that we do what Jesus is telling us here. We have to get that into our hearts. We have to get that into our minds. He didn't just give us the Bible for something to look at, read, do a personal study, and then do nothing about what He's given us. He says, "And doeth them." We have to do these things. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these things of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto him a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock." What are we teaching our children, or are we? That's the title I put on this, are we? What are we teaching them, or are we? Are we teaching them what we should be? Well, the Lord just put this on my heart, and there's some things in here. The thing I want you to understand is, first you have to get that foundation with Jesus Christ. You got to build your house on Jesus Christ. It won't stand anywhere else. Number two, He says these are His things. This is not the preacher's thing. It's not Dale Moore's thing. It's not the world. This is God's word. This is His Bible. This is what He's telling us to do. And He says another thing is, we must do them. We must do them. We can't just hear them and blow them off like they're nothing. God, we can't treat God that way. We can't treat His word that way. That's not how He accepts us. So we have to understand that we have to come to Him on His terms. You know why a lot of people aren't saved today? Because they try to come to Jesus on His terms, and they try to compromise how He says they have to come, and He will not compromise on that. Jesus is not going to change His mind on that. So it doesn't matter if somebody can sit there and be on the edge of hell and sit there, and God's not going to change His mind to keep him out of it. There's no compromising when it comes to God. And I'm just telling you now, things we got to stop trying to compromise with God and start doing what His Word says. That's what He tells us to do. Matthew 7, 20, I read 24 and 25. It says, "Jesus instructs us to build our family on the rock, the firm foundations, which is Him in the Bible. When the storms of life are quiet and there is smooth sailing, all seems well. When we are in church, we're praying, we're raising our family, reading and doing what the Bible says. In the quiet times between the storms, we think all is well, but we may be missing what God is trying to show us or teach us." In those quiet times, in those times where everything just seems like they're at peace and everything's all good, God may be trying to show us something. We're just not paying attention to it. So I'm going to tell you what He might do for us. It says, this is why God allows storms to come in our life, so that we can start seeing the things and start noticing the things that we normally would have missed in the quiet times. A lot of times we'll sit back in the quiet times and just go ahead and sail through things and not pay attention to anything. And God says, well, I need to wake them up. Then I have to send a storm in their life. I got to shake them up a little bit. I got to get this thing a little bit rocking. I got to go out there and I got to make them see some things that they might miss in the quiet times. God lets us have our quiet times. But he also is serious. When he's trying to show us and teach us something, and we don't listen, he's got to shake things up. I believe that's why God sends a lot of storms in people's life, because at other times you just won't listen to them. But you'll listen in a storm. You'll want to take shelter then. You want to run to Him. You want to be reading and praying and being in church and everything else then. When the storms start coming. Why? Because He's got your attention now. He's got your attention. God has to bring the storms that we'll pay attention to the things He's trying to show us in the calm between the storms. Some of what we miss is where we stand with God and where our families and the things we have been missing and forgetting and slacking in the quiet. We tend to put things on a second shelf. We tend to let things slacken up a little bit in the quiet. In the peaceful times, we tend to back off of the things that God has called us to do. We tend to just put our feet up and try to relax through this whole thing, just sail through it. And then you know what happens? When we finally do wake up, we go, oh, how did we get here? You see, God talks to us in the quiet times. He talks to us in the storms. But it's in the quiet times, if you're not going to listen, He's going to shake it up for you a little bit. And then you go, oh, why are we here again? You're missing it. You're missing what He's trying to show you. Have we been consistent? Or are we being inconsistent with regards to raising our family? And if you're anything like me and Amy, it's alarming at how far we've allowed our children to stray. It's alarming at how far we've allowed ourselves to stray. And here are a few things that we should really be taking heed to out of the Word of God. These are very serious things. The Lord put this on my heart yesterday, and it was a wake-up call for me and my wife herself. Most of the time. Well, I just say this all the time. I'm an imperfect person saved by a perfect God. But most of the time, me and my wife are really consistent on what God has given us to do. We just find life to be easier that way. Well, there are times that we start straying, and guess what happens? We finally wake up to that alarm ring going off and go, oh, how did we get here? How did this get to this? How did we get this far away from where we're supposed to be? And that's what I want to show you. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Proverbs 17. I'll return to quite a few things here. Proverbs 17, verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of the children are their fathers. Fathers, how our children are, how they act, and what they become falls on our back. How our children are, how they act, how they work. Excuse me, this also works for a single mother. How our children act are the work of the father. You single mothers, you know you have to play both those positions. But I'm just telling you now, how my children act reflects on how I train my children. How they act reflects on how am I taking heed to what God is showing me and my wife in the Bible. Are we bringing the spiritual things home that need to be home? Are we keeping them within the Bible? Are we doing the things that God would have us to do? That falls on the Father's back. They are my glory of how I'm doing things in my house. That's a reflection on how I'm running things in my household. And your children, mothers, fathers, your children, how they act are a reflection on what you're doing at your house. It's real simple to correct children while you're in public. It's not so simple when you're at home because there's nobody watching. You don't have to impress anybody. That's what correction has become these days in Christian families and churches. It's to sit there, yes, I correct my kids, look, but they still don't listen. What are you doing at home when nobody's watching? What are you doing at home when you're in the car by yourself? Are you still sticking to those same principles? Are you still saying the same thing? Are you still listening to what God has told you to do to your children? It'll show. It'll show in your children how they're acting and what they're doing. It's going to show in your children's life of what you're doing at home. People get this misconception in their head, well, as long as I come to that church, it all matters. No. Because they won't have to behave here just as well as anywhere else. You got to bring that stuff home. It goes home with you. It comes to church with you. It goes to the store with you. It goes to the grandparents. I mean, how many times do you get compliments from her mother's friends saying how well my children behave? Why? Because they know better. When they're out with someone else, they're going to behave just as well as they do in my house. That's why it's important. I always ask Timmy on a Thursday, how are my children doing? I need to know these things. Because this is something that I need to take care of, and I need to step in and take care of it. That question goes beyond just being in church, being in public. It goes home. It's very important to bring this stuff home. They're a reflection of a father or a single mother. It's a reflection on us and how we're raising them. Step back and you can see how far we've let our children go and how far their behavior has gone. This is what we should do. How can we correct this problem? Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. Train a child up in the way he should go. Listen, when somebody goes into the military or goes into a new job, they aren't just shown one time that they're left out there on their own. It's a constant thing. It has to always happen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I have to train my child in the way. It doesn't ever say to stop. Train my child on the way. How are they ever going to know if I'm not there 24 hours? I'm not saying, well, wait 24 hours. But if ever had to be, then it should be where you're up. And you're training that child at what they should be doing. At all times. All times. All places. Anywhere. Does not matter. God did not put a stipulation on when, where, and how. He put on how. He teaches us how in the Bible. But he doesn't say you just train them so and such time between the hours of 9 to 5 and you don't have to worry about it then. No, God forbid. God forbid that we do that to our children. When I talk about confusion, I'll tell you the biggest, one of the biggest things that happened in our house is when me and Andy start getting inconsistent in our correction, it causes confusion in our children. It really had a loss without it. Because they're so used to it, they really just get confused. And so me and Andy had to step back, and I got to go as a dad, and I got to, they don't like it, but I got to lay the hammer. I got to lay the hammer down again. Man, it's time to get this thing right, man. We back off too much, it's getting right. I look like the bad guy, but you know what, in the end, it's a good thing. Because you know, I can walk up to my family anytime, doesn't matter where we are, where we're going or anything. I can just say, let's go, we're going to pray right now. And we'll get together as a family, and we'll hold hands and pray together. It's important for us, my children, to see what me and my wife do. Not only here, but how we live at home. Why? Because one day they're going to be grown up. One day they might get married, have a husband and wife. How are they going to act the way mom and dad did? That's what they're going to learn. They're not going to learn how to be a husband and wife by Hollywood or by anybody else sitting in this church. They're going to have to learn that from me and mom. If I'm not training my child in the way, God forbid if Luke had to sit there and see me treat his mother in a horrible way. What do you think he's going to pick up on? Are you allowed to touch your sister? No. Why? Because I believe it can lead a boy to hitting their wife or hitting their girlfriend. I'm not having that. Put your hands on your sister, not in front of me. Better not let him hear about it either. He knows better. There's no sense of him putting his hand on a woman ever. Sister, mom, boy, girlfriend, wife, no. She's not allowed to antagonize him either, because you know how little sisters can do. She gets 20 whacks for antagonizing. That's training them up, man. Training them up in the way it should go. Well, what's the way it should go? Get this Bible. You can't go wrong if you're relying on the Word of God. You can't go wrong if you're relying on the King James Bible. You just can't go wrong with it. Just can't go wrong. I mean, we can make our mistakes, but you know what? Can we get it right? Can we get it right? You know, I mess up with God all the time, but you know what? I get it right with him, and he just passed me on my butt, and we get going again. Plus, I work that same situation with my kids. I don't ever want them to ever think that I have something against them. I want to know that things are settled between me and them. They get the correction, it's over with. Luke and all. How many times have you guys spoken to? I mean, one time. That's it. There ain't no more times. You don't have a second chance. It's over with. You think I'm doing that to be cruel? I'm doing it because I love them. I'm trying to train them up in this world. I don't have the... I wish I had the convenience of my wife being a stay-at-home mom. I do. And I don't... You know, everybody knows I don't pick up anything to do. But we don't. I have to send my kids out in the world, but they're being trained through it. Why? Because they're getting what they need to get at home. I don't have to have her be a stay-at-home mom to train my kids how to live in this world. Just saying, that's how it goes sometimes. Sometimes it's how the car, how things fall into place. But regardless if they were homeschooled, regardless if they're in public school, they need to be learned, they need to be trained up in the way. And not the way that I would think, because I would ruin their life. Ephesians 6:4 says, "And you fathers, and you fathers, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them into the nurture and admiration of the Lord. We are to train them and show them and teach them in the instructions of the Bible and the standards that we set for our family, our families to do so. And it will allow the if we don't break these cycles, the vicious cycle will continue in your child's life." I never, ever want my children to ever have to get caught in the cycle or the trap that I was in my life. I want that to be different for them. My wife wants that to be different for them. Well, how do we do it then? Train them up in the admiration of the Lord. Train them up in the house of God. Train them up in the Bible. And I'm not just talking about in a church. I'm talking about bringing this stuff home. Teenagers as well. Teenagers as well. I'm not going to say any names, and I told my class this morning. I had a teenager complain that they were working too much and they were this and that. I said, "I don't even want to hear that come out of your mouth. I don't want to hear that come out of your mouth." We have guys in their 70s and late 60s and people who have back surgeries and knee problems and all that that are sitting here and working. You want to complain? You need to learn how to get trained up. Luke, did you come here to play yesterday or to work? That's what I'm training my son to do. Does that make me a superhero? No. It just means that I want to train him the right way. My daughter, train her the right way. Why? She cooks with her mom and does things with her mom. Says, why? Because I want to train her up in the right way. Train her up in the right way, which no. There's no compromise in this family. Me and my wife make decisions. I ultimately make the ultimate decision. But besides that, there is no compromise with my children. They are not allowed to debate what they think. Most of the time, they're just trying to get out of something. I don't listen to that. No. Get it done. Just get it done. It's over with. Be happy. You know what? My kids are more happier being that way. Tell me they're not. They're happier when we're sitting there and doing what we're supposed to be. Now, I'm not some military drill sergeant on my kids. We have a really good time, do we not? We have fun together, don't we? Yes or no? Oh, don't you think we have fun as a family? Yeah. We have a good time as a family. But there's a time when a mom and a dad have to be a mom and a dad, not a friend. Yeah. You cannot be a friend to your child and be a parent. It just doesn't work that way. You have to be a parent first and then a friend. But personally, I don't even see this friendship garbage with parents. You know what? That's my son. I'm going to love him as a parent. I'm not going to love him as a friend. Because a friend is turning your back and stab you in the back, throw you around and everything else. I don't want to be known as a friend. I want to be known as somebody who loved them, prayed for them, cried for them, got them through things, helped them through things, taught them things. That's what I want to be known as. That's what I want to be known as in my children. When I go to lay in my grave, I just want my children to say, "He was a good dad. He believed the Lord. He loved the Lord. That's how he raised us." I want them to say that. I want them to know. Luke, he goes and tells his friends at school, "Oh, you wouldn't do that to my dad. You wouldn't say that to my dad. You wouldn't do that around my dad." Why? He knows. But he also sees some other kids that are tortured, tore up, and have nothing. And it hurts him, man. It hurts him to see that the kids are out there like that. Sometimes he just doesn't understand. Dad, why are they like that? How come they don't have a mommy and a daddy? Or how come they have two mommies and two daddies? We can't hide that stuff from our kids. Our kids are eventually going to live in the world. They're eventually going to live in the world. So you can either shelter them or just teach them about it. That's what you can do. And that's what we try to do. We try to take the Bible. We try to teach our kids. This is why. This is what's going on. This is what God says about it. Now, there's obviously certain things that we don't talk to our kids about. They're too young and such. That, you know, honestly, I don't think they've ever came up and asked us anything like that. Ever. Will the time come? I'm sure. And we'll deal with it then. But the training of a child, the correction of a child, is the most important thing you'll ever do for your kids right now. And I'm not talking about now in this church. I'm talking about now, today, every day, for the rest of your life, no matter where you're at. No matter where you're at. They know they get spankings at grandpa's, grandma's, in the store, outside the store, in the car. They get it everywhere they are. They're told one time, and that's a wrap, man. It's over with. There is no nothing. Because I want my kids to grow up to be something, man, to be worth something to somebody one day. That's why I love my kids. You know, I sit there and I go, you know, Lord, if I just had somebody do that to me, just maybe. Just maybe I would have been a little different. Just maybe something would have turned out a little different. Didn't happen for me, but it's going to happen for my kids. Yeah. My kids aren't unhappy. You go ahead and spend some time with my kids. Go ahead and ask, you know, Josh and Zane and them come over and stuff if my kids are unhappy and they can't do things. They do what they do a lot of things. But they just have to know this is the structure. This is how it is. This is what it's about. This is what's going on. I know, and you know, I love my mother-in-law. I just love her to death. But she's always trying to force shorts on Autumn. And Autumn keeps telling her, Grandma, I just don't wear shorts. I don't need them. I can do everything in a dress just like anybody can do in shorts. That's what she tells her grandmother. Because she's come to realize she can do it. Now, you know, she's happy with her skirts. I don't think she's ever wore a pair of pants in her life that I can remember. And she's okay with that. She can do somersaults, flips, back flips, somersaults, ride bikes, skateboards. She goes hunting. I mean, they do all that. But she's okay. She's okay with that. She doesn't have a problem with it. Why? That's how a woman, it just looks so much better. Women, I'm just telling you guys now, you look so much better in skirts and dress. You just look appropriate. It looks good. You're coming from somebody who was an absolute pig. Who liked to see all the nakedness and flesh. And I'm just telling you now, it looks great. Now, am I picking on anybody who doesn't always wear them? No, I am not. That's between you and God. I have nothing to do with that. I'm just telling you how we train our children up. Some reminders, Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I'm just telling you now, if you are not willing to correct your child and stay on top of it, you'll never get that foolishness out of their heart. This is what they'll become. I'm just going to let you know now. What you see them at right now, whatever age you're seeing them at and they're not listening, when they become 12, 13, 14, 21, 22 years old, you'll have the same one standing in front of you doing the same thing with the foolishness in their heart.
Right.
They'll never, ever get out of it. How do I know that? Because I was one. Nobody ever drove the foolishness out of me. Now, does that mean perfect? That somebody who does, who is on top of their kids and, you know, is all the foolishness out of them? No, but there's a better chance it will be. And if that chance is going to be better for my kids not to go out there and live a foolish life, then I'm willing to take that chance. I'm willing to take that chance to try to help them get that foolishness out of them. I don't have a problem spanking my kids. They know that. You ask them, do I have a problem spanking? They go, no. I said, but do you know why I'm spanking you? And they'll tell me because you won't. That's why I spank. I'm not angry with my children when I spank them. Let me just read what I wrote here. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from the being calm, stern, and consistent, not angry and violent, and correction will drive the foolishness out of a child. Not to install fear or hate and bitterness. When you approach that child when you're angry and you want to correct them, all you put in them is fear, anger, and resentment. That's what you put in them. You don't get that foolishness out of them. All you do is drive more into them.
Right.
You think that correcting your children angry is helping them? You're hurting them. You're ruining their life. Because not only is the foolishness going to stay there, but you're putting in bitterness, you're putting in anger, you're putting in fear in their hearts. You've drove nothing out of it. You've only added to the problem. That is not the way the Lord has told us how to correct our children. Ask them, I mean, you can go ahead and take me out of this room and ask my kids, do I come at them when I'm angry? I know what it is to have people come after me when they're angry. And it did me no good. It did not drive foolishness out of me. It put it in me more. It just made me more angry. It made me more apt to lash out on somebody. It made me more apt to grab somebody by the throat and halfway try to kill them. That's what it made me do. Correct your children, and when you're calm, when you're under control, you can't control yourself, you should not ever be correcting your children. Ever.
Right.
Ever. Why? Because not only does God tell us to have full control of ourselves, it's against the law in New York State. It's abuse. It's abuse. It's a very thin line between abuse and correction.
Right.
And people need to learn that. And I had to teach my mother that all over again. Now, does she agree with it still? Probably not. But she understands the difference now. She did not understand there's a difference between correction and abuse. And I'm just telling you, when you're angry and you go after your children, you're doing nothing but harming them. You're putting fear, hate, and bitterness in their life. Consistency shows behavior of your child, whether you have been consistent in correcting them and teaching them, and the reflection is on the father. You want to know if somebody's been correcting their children? Just watch them. And guess what that reflects on? And you. What the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. That the glory of the children is the father. You can tell by a child's actions if the dad's been doing anything with it. The dad's really been correct. If he's really been working with his wife, or, getting things right. Hey, I set rules in the house. She's the one who makes it happen. If he's trying to come up to me and ask this, I say, hey, that's your mom, man. Don't ask me. You go ask her. And our house runs good like that. I know you.
Yeah, it runs good.
Now, were me and Amy always like that? No. We're knuckleheads. But here's the thing, it's doing it. You want to know the simple truth? The simple truth of having victory in us is doing it. Don't just listen. Don't just sit here and listen to what the Bible says. Go ahead out there and do it. Do it. Do what the Lord has. Proverbs 20:29-15 says, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bring his mother shame. Shame. You want to know shame? Look at a mother's face when their child's not behaving like they're supposed to. And I'm not saying that. He's just a little guy. He doesn't know. But you watch older kids, from ages 3, 4, 5 and up. And you watch when they start acting that way. Some of you used to then be ashamed when your kids act like that. That's a shame. It's a shame. And you know what? The dad needs to step in and do something. It's time for dad to step in there and say, well, we got to do this stuff. I don't want my wife ever walking around ashamed of how our children are acting. She should be able to enjoy her children. We'll be able to go out in public and act just the way they should be and do the things they should do. Not that calls her shame. Not calls her shame. That should never be. But you know what it says? But a child left to himself, bringing his mother shame. Left to himself. I was a product of somebody who was left to themselves. Ask my mother if I ever brought her shame. Ask her. That's what we do when we go after our children in anger. That's what we do when when the dads or moms don't step up to the plate and correct their kids the way they're supposed to. And then you got to bear the shame on top of it. You single mom got to bear the shame and the reflection. You guys get double duty. That's a hard place to be. Hard place to be. But you know what? Let me just read Isaiah 3:12 says, as for my people, children are the oppressors. Children are the oppressors. And the women rule over them. Oh, my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of the past. Children that are left to themselves are an agony to the parents. They are no longer a joy, but an oppression. How many people walk around and just watch people and say, oh my gosh, that person hates their child. That person just does not like their child. How many of you sit here today and your child does that to you? And no longer is that child a joy to you, but it's an oppression to you. It's an agony because of the way your child acts. I'm just telling you, man, that's what the Bible says, that children become an oppression. It's not a joy. It's supposed to be joy in having children. Joy in raising a family. But if it's not being done right, it's oppression. It's hard. It's rough. Things just ain't working like God never intended it for it. But as I said earlier, a lot of people have gotten rid of the things. They've gotten rid of the standards of the Bible. They've gotten rid of the standards of how to raise children. That's all gone. You know, and everybody has the answer. They all know how to do it better than the Bible. They all know how to do it better than God. They all know how to do it better than listen to somebody preach. And you go ahead and look, and they can't stand their own children. So tell me, do you have the answer? Are you doing it? Who's doing it? Who's out there to say, I'm going to take a stand, I'm going to fight against this world, and I'm going to teach my children the way they should be. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what it takes.
That's what it takes. Because if not, guess what happens? That child becomes unlike.
Right.
A child has a hard time the rest of its life. Nobody wants to be around it. And then mom's like, oh gosh, they're doing it again. And dad's like, oh. That's what it becomes. And it becomes an oppression. It becomes an agony for those parents. An agony. Does not have to be that way. Does not.
Let me read. We'll be able to finish this. This will be the reflection of the father and a shame to the mother. This was evident in our lives before salvation. It was the trap is this the trap in hell and the hell that you desire for your children that you say you love? We were an oppression to our parents. And we say we want different for our children, but we do the same thing that our parents did to us.
I know I was an oppression to my mother. She makes that pretty clear, don't you think? I was that to her. There was no joy in having me. But I'm not going to have that for my children. I'm not going to raise my children the way I was raised.
I'm not going to let them become an oppression to me and my wife. God gave this to them as a gift to love and enjoy, to have a good time with, to raise, to be able to go through things with. I love it when my son walks up to me and says, Dad, he knows I'm having a bad day. He'll just say, let's pray. Autumn will come up and just lay her head on my shoulder and say, it's okay, Dad. Well, she knows I'm hurting extremely bad. Huh? Right?
I'm just saying, God has promised that every person, every man and woman who wants to go and take their children and raise it the way God tells us to raise them, it's not such a bad life.
You want to know a stress reliever? Raising your children the way God has asked you to raise your children. The instructions are full well in this Bible. I guarantee you that. He never desired you to live a life where your child has become an oppression or an agony.
Right.
And yet he never designed you to be that to your children either. Parents need to take heed to the way they treat their children. They think it's a harmless little thing, and I'm just telling you now, and many of us have went through this same thing, where, man, just those words, I would rather have gotten beat up, punched, kicked, 1,000 times over some of the words that were told to me as a child.
Amen. Hurtful words.
That's right. We say we want something different for our children and do the same exact thing. How much different do you want anything for your child? When you're raising them the way you were raised, when you're doing the things that were done to you, when you're talking to them the way you were talked to, when you're go ahead and tell how much I love you, and then let them do whatever they want to do and just be out of control. No, I'm sorry, but that's not love to me. I've learned to love now. I know what it's like to have love, and I'm just going to tell you now, I'm a saved person, and because the love of Jesus Christ on that cross does not let me go out there and do whatever I want to do. He keeps me in check. That's what parents do. Because of love, we keep our children in check. We train them. We love them. We get, you know, that's what Jesus does to us for our saved people. He loves us. He trains us, man. He doesn't just let us go any old way. Thank God he doesn't let me just go any old way, because I wouldn't be with Amy or my kids. I'd be out there being a monger and all that crazy stuff, man. Very thin line. People understand that. Pastor Haynes talked about the guy who had a life like me and just walked away from it all, man. Just walked away from it all. God forbid if that ever happened. It could have happened to me. It could have happened to anybody. But God, please, the very second it happens, make me drop dead right where I stand. And let me go no farther. No farther. I don't want it anymore. That world out there, you all can have it. I don't want it. You can have all of it. Take it. Cheers. Go get it. Goodbye. Listen, I don't want none of it. None of it. I came out of it. I don't want to get back into it. Do I have flesh that desires it? Yes, I do. You know, that's the battle. But in my heart, and I mean in my heart of hearts, I just don't want it out there anymore. There's nothing appealing to me. There's nothing you can show me or give me or tell me about that would just make me want to go out there, man. I just don't want it. I don't want my kids to have it either. We were in a Proverbs 23:13 says, withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. That was a big problem for my wife. She just didn't want to spank the children. When I'm not around, she has to do that. And it was very hard for me to spank my children because of the abuse that I went through. But I just had to learn the difference between abuse and correction. And then it made it okay for me. I understood how I had to do it. I understood, okay, let's just do this the right way then. When I'm mad, remember what? I said, I'm not touching ever again. Nice to say it when I'm mad. I said, I'm not doing it anymore. Now I'm going to calm down. Now, when I throw it, I'm nice to do it. Nice, calm, and level-headed. They hate every second of it. I'm okay with it. You got just come to the realization that they, I just had. It's not going to kill them for me to spank them. It's not going to hurt them, but it will if I don't. I will hurt them if I don't. Thou shalt, Proverbs 23:14, thou shalt beat him with a rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. How's that? How much do you love your children? You want to deliver them from hell? Doesn't mean they're all going to get saved. But the Bible says if we beat them, we can save their soul from hell. It doesn't mean beat them like get on top and give them a bloody nose, knock their teeth out and all. You got to understand what God is trying to tell us here. You got to be stern. You have to be firm about it. You got to be consistent about this thing. You can't go in there and kick your teeth and act like they're football and kick them around. You know, it doesn't always have to be physical. That mouth can do it too. My mouth used to get me in a lot of trouble with my wife and my children. We love our children. We need to obey what's in the Bible and train and love and teach our children the way that God has instructed us to. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. For those of us who grew up in a pretty rough household, remember those things you've seen. Remember those things you've seen. Remember those things you've seen. Because that's what you're turning your house into. That's what you'll turn your house into. You'll turn your house into those very things you hated. You'll turn your children into the very things that your parents did to you. You'll do that same thing. How many times have you heard me in the past say, oh my gosh, I'm turning out to be just like my parents. And I just couldn't believe that that was happening to me. Be careful. You know what you've seen. Don't think it can't happen to you. It's happening. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of life, but we teach thy sons and thy sons' sons. We must love and teach ourselves before we can teach and love our children. If we love our children, then we must teach and correct them consistently. We have seen and lived things we would never wish upon our enemies. Then why would we allow it to happen to our children? The way some of us were raised, you know, is abusive and oppressive and hurt. So let me ask you, if you would not wish that upon your worst enemy, why are you allowing your kids to live that way? Why are you allowing that same path to happen to your kids? You're allowing that same thing to happen to your kids. Let's not forget those things we lived and seen. We must turn our children away. Here's one of my favorite, Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Now that comes from the Bible. I'm just telling you now, don't correct your kids, you hate them.
Right.
You hate them. You hate them, you hate them, you hate them. I don't care who you are. Here, read it right here for yourself. Read it in the Word of God where it says that if you're not correcting your child, that you're hating them. That's coming from God above, not from me. He just happened to put it in and I stumbled upon it. So many parents say they love their kids and not correcting them. The Bible begs to differ with you if you're telling your kids you love them. Let me just read that one more time. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth them chastiseth betimes. He that loveth, listen, don't tell me you love your kids and you let them do whatever they want, walk whatever way they want, talk whatever they want, and tell me you love them. You can put up with it. The Bible says that's a lie. The Bible says if you love your children, then you're going to correct them. You're going to correct them. There's a reason for that. And I got 1 minute. I'm just going to read this. Correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. You see that? There's no shame. The reflection is not a bad thing. You correct your son and you'll be okay. He shall give you rest. And yea, give delight unto thy soul. That's what we want. We want that rest and that delight to our soul that our children are doing the right things. And that's what God said. And here's my last one. Psalm 127:3. Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is the reward. And if they are a heritage of the Lord, should they not be for us as well? Are we greater than God and should raise them any other way but by His word and what He teaches us? If children are a heritage of the Lord, then how much more of a heritage should they be for us here?" That's something we should really be thinking about. If you love your children like you say you do, and they're a heritage, then you'll do what this book says. You'll do what this Bible says in raising your children. I'm done, Pastor.